Biggest weekend of the year has come and gone, and we're here with a full recap plus round three, the greatest IC champion tournament, the wrestling guys, and we start right now. All right, coming to you from the basement in the forgotten borough of Staten Island, New York. This is the Wrestling Guys Podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We're your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, the American Nightmare, Chris Never Miss. Drinks are on tap for tonight. A lot of stuff to get into. We're 2 weeks deep, and we're going to do anything. We don't start anything without the ceremonial clinking of the glasses, which is great. So we took last week off. Chris, you were feeling a bit under the weather, so there's a lot to go through. We have our round three greatest IC champ tournament, but I think we need to put that on the back burner for a few minutes to talk about WrestleMania. And for the first time in a long time, we watched it together, which was nice. What, night one?
Yep.
Right? Reunited, watched the night one, which was fantastic. Our families came together, watched some night one, had a ball. I don't want to get too into like an entire recap of both nights because it's two nights. It's going to be, I think, way too long. I think we should just stick to the highlights here. I want to ask you off the bat, maybe top three favorite matches of the weekend. What were some of the highlights that stood out to you? That's what I want to hear exactly. We don't have to go through every single match we saw, though.
Well, I'll say off the bat that night one was better than night two.
Agreed. I would agree with you on that, yeah.
Night two, though, still had some pretty decent matches. Like, I felt the whole weekend, both nights, were actually pretty good, considering that I was critical about the card itself, and that we talked about it, and I said that the card was not exciting. But I thought each match, for the most part, delivered, and some of them delivered more than what I expected out of them. Night two was a little bit less than night one. I don't know why they decided to put everything on Saturday night as opposed to Sunday night.
Was very gimmick heavy.
It was gimmick heavy, but it was also like, with the exception of the Roman and Brock match and Edge and AJ Styles, and I guess you can even make a case for Bobby Lashley, like he's a top guy, all of the main attractions were put on Saturday night. So they definitely overloaded the first night, which is kind of interesting, instead of balancing it out. I thought overall the entire WrestleMania night one and two were it was entertaining. It was really fun to watch. I think the best match overall, I would say, is probably Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair.
Okay.
The biggest highlight is the return of Cody Rhodes, and him and Seth Rollins had a great match. Brock and Roman, their match was what it was, but it was still good. I was very surprised that Roman won. You called it.
Acknowledge me, baby.
I was surprised that Ronda Rousey lost, and that match wasn't great, but it wasn't bad either, but I was surprised.
And very technical. Yeah,
but I was also happy that Ronda Rousey lost, but I thought for sure she would win. I got to give credit where credit is due, even though I kind of don't want to. Logan Paul stepped up and did a good job in the tag match.
I thought he did. I'm not a fan. He did an outstanding job. I'm sorry. He did.
Yeah. I mean, you can't deny it. It was a good match. And, of course, the biggest thing is the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I mean, we were at your house watching it, and him and KO were doing the KO show. And I'm like, is this going to be a match? And he said, get a ref. And we were like, oh, shit. It was a no-holds-barred match. And I know Austin is limited. At 57 years old, he still looked great. The match was entertaining without them doing or trying to do too much. They did just enough to get the crowd going. Everybody was invested in it. Stone Cold won the match and then delivered probably what will be the most infamous stunner of all time, which was the Vince McMahon botch. Oh, no, that was the next night.
That was night two.
Yeah, that was night two when he stunned Vince McMahon. But it was great to see Austin return for what I assume is now his official final match. And go just quickly into night two, as I spoiled it already, that Vince McMahon stunner, the stunner he took was just laughable.
Shout out to the production team that edited the next night to make it look like a good stunner, though. They killed that shit. Yeah.
But what I did like is that Stone Cold laughed. You can see him laughing about it.
He said motherfucker. Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. He laughed it off. Everybody laughed it off. Okay, right. Yeah, it's a botch.
What else can you
everybody
do?
The guy's in his fucking, like, come on, dude. How old is Vince McMahon?
He's 76 years old.
Right. So
Do you expect? Bro. He's never taken a good stunner. Never.
Never. Never. The first stunner he ever took sucked.
Right, like, exactly. Pat McAfee delivering in a match against Austin Theory. Really good match. The Edge and AJ Styles match, I have to say it was good, but I expected a little bit more.
It wasn't as good as I expected it to be. I expected that match, if I got to be honest with you, to be an all-timer. And it wasn't, but it was a very good match. Not taking away from those guys, because it was a very good match, but it wasn't. Maybe that's my expectations probably being too high. I expected it to be like an all-time WrestleMania match, and it wasn't, but it was still a very good match.
Yeah, and so that's all I got. What I did want to bring up, and I'm curious to see what you think, is I was listening to Jim Cornette talk about WrestleMania a little bit, and he talked about the Johnny Knoxville Sami Zayn match, which I thought, for what it was entertaining, right? It was supposed to be just a gimmick match. All of the jackass gimmicks were in there, the mousetraps, the big hands,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? I was totally fine with it because I knew what it was supposed to be. Jim Cornette said that he was very offended by the match. And there
He's
were people,
full of shit.
There were people that, according to him, that were adding him on his Twitter, also saying that they were very offended and they found the match to be offensive and it was garbage and it had no business being there. But I'm like, what is so offensive about that match that you don't find offensive about? And I'm gonna do it, even though a friend of ours told us to stop being mean to AEW. I'm going to do it. When Rosario Dawson appeared for no reason to help Cody Rhodes, why was nobody offended by that? But yet people are offended by Johnny Knoxville competing at WrestleMania.
Rosario Dawson didn't come with a giant mousetrap and a giant hand, maybe.
So an even better one.
To say you're offended is BS, but go ahead.
But all right, so an even better one. How come no one's offended by all the American Top Team guys that can't wrestle getting matches on AEW? Junior Dos Santos, Jorge Masvidal, like those people are having matches.
Can I play devil's advocate here?
Good.
Those guys are legitimate MMA fighters. So
but they're not wrestlers.
Right, but the believability is there. And this is not me defending it, but this is me going back at you with a counter argument, right?
That's the counter argument, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to work a wrestling match.
Yes. I'm with you. When Dos Santos had that match, I'm like, fuck this. He didn't do terrible. But right. How much training has he had? How much training did Cain Velasquez had in this case? Right. You know what I mean? Like, that's not defending one for the other because he didn't have anything either. I mean, he wrestled in AAA for a bit. He looked good. But, I mean, how many matches did he have under his belt when he went against Brock Lesnar just to get Lesnar's win back, essentially, because he got released shortly after? My thing is, if you found the jackass match, I'm just calling it the jackass match. If you found that offensive, you're stupid because wrestling has had gimmicks like that forever.
Right.
Gimmick matches have existed like that forever. AEW had an arcade match with Miro and Kip Sabian when they did like, or they threw a guy into an arcade machine and did all this bullshit with it. That's not criticizing AEW. I'm saying they did it. WWE has done any type of Halloween street fight, New York City street fight with like hot dog carts and all this other stuff. New Orleans street fights. Right. And a gravy bowl match, a mud wrestling match. I mean, I could keep going. I mean, WCW did the same thing with Nasty Boys in Harlem Heat and Uncensored when they went into the fake concession stand and had mustard all over themselves and they're spraying this shit on them. Don't act like you're offended. Like these gimmicks have never existed. It's bullshit. And Cornette's been a part of that too. So let's not act like this is something brand new to you. Oh, okay. Why? Because there's a giant mousetrap. It wasn't my favorite wrestling match of all time, but the fact that Sami Zayn says that's one of his career highlights at Mania. It's one of his favorite matches of all time. That says something to the performer that was in the fucking ring, not you.
But it right? just but the match was what it was supposed to be.
It's entertaining. You
know, it's entertaining.
I wasn't expecting a 5-star barn burner from that match. And not for nothing, the audience was entertained. I watched it at my sister's boyfriend, Danny. You met him on Saturday. We were there with a bunch of his friends. One of his friends is not a huge wrestling fan, entertained as fuck by that match. He fell asleep at the end of the game. Up for that match, clapped at the end, was like, that match was entertaining as hell. That's exactly who it was for. and it served its purpose. And don't act like you're offended by all this shit. Like, we haven't seen 30, 40, 50 years of gimmicks over the years. Gobbledygooker, there's one for you. Okay? We're in a match at WrestleMania called the Gimmick Battle Royal. Shut the fuck up. That's all I'm going to say about that.
But, I mean, in closing, I thought it was really, really a good WrestleMania night one and two.
It was better than I expected.
Better than I expected.
You said you weren't excited about the card. I was like, yeah, sounds good. It was way better. First of all, Austin, and every time, and maybe I'm, that's the old guy in me, but like, I saw Austin, every time I take Austin, when he took a suplex on the concrete, I cringed. Just the same thing as Daniel Bryan when he came back. He was fantastic. Pounding beers the entire time was fucking, you couldn't ask for a better comeback than that. Cody and Seth Rollins stole the show. But then Becky and Bianca came out and fucking delivered an all-time WrestleMania match for women card.
Yep.
It was a fantastic match. The build to Seth carrying the build on his own, and then Cody coming out to a huge ovation, and the amount of production they put that AEW never put in behind Cody with the 3D graphics coming off the stage, the pyro. He looked like a superstar on night one. Yeah. He's already listed as the number two. If you read the reports, he's already listed as the number two babyface on Raw. They gave him everything. Mm-hmm. And he came back as a bigger star than he ever was, and that was probably the ultimate goal. Same thing with McIntyre when he came back. He looked outstanding. Not to be outdone, night two, that triple threat tag team match was fucking outstanding to kick the show off.
It was a good match, yeah.
The Knoxville match was what it was. It was entertaining. Also, you had Logan Paul did his thing. I thought Roman Brock was awesome. It ended shorter than I wanted it to actually be. I thought I wanted it to be maybe like 5 minutes longer. It looked like Brock was legitimately hurt. I thought Roman was legitimately hurt. But if the fact that I thought that both of them were injured at the same time shows that they were beating the shit out of each other, congrats to both of those guys. No, seriously. It was hard hitting. They both looked like they were legitimately hurt at the end of the night. And that's what you want from a main event. They didn't bullshit with a collar and elbow tie up, chain wrestling, drop down tackle, none of that shit. They just beat the shit out of each other. That's right. What I wanted from that main event from those two guys. And they both delivered.
And that's what it needed to be, especially with how many times we've seen them wrestle each other.
Right? Yes. So absolutely. This is the third main event with each other, yeah?
At WrestleMania, yeah. And it's not counting all the other
Crown Jewel and all these other main events they've had with each other. And this is one of those things, like the Brock Roman is almost like the Rock Austin from back in the day. Like, they're always destined to meet with each other. Seems like Brock's taking some time off. I thought, and to the people who were like, FTR and the Briscoes was the match of the weekend. I mean, I haven't seen it. I heard it's fantastic, and I am going to see it at some point. That's great. But to tell people like, oh, better wrestling was in Dallas that weekend than WrestleMania. Why the fuck do you think that wrestling was in Dallas that weekend? Use the tent pole that is WrestleMania, and you bring more people in. And good for those companies. Shame on Tony Khan for saying that the main card's weak, so I'm competing with myself against myself. Go fuck yourself. You're a total mark. I'm sorry. And ever since William Regal says he doesn't like the term mark, I'm trying not to use it too much out of respect for Regal. For him to say something like that, I just can't. I can't get behind a guy like that. Vince is all business. I don't know Vince McMahon personally. You ever see him do shit like that the way he did?
No,
absolutely. He's trying to be like the Bischoff role that Bischoff was back in the day. Only he's not nearly as charismatic as Eric Bischoff ever was. He has no charisma. And the fact that you're saying you're competing with yourself. Did you even sell out a 5,000 seat arena and they're fucking putting 70,000 people in AT&T Stadium both nights? Shut up, dude.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was, you know, as far as like wrestling news goes, that was kind of a big story over WrestleMania weekend. And the reason why is because Mark Madden, former WCW announcer, I am not a fan of Mark Madden personally. I've listened to him say some things that
he is who he is, bro. You know what I mean?
He's just not a good person. He does a radio show, I think, in like Pittsburgh.
Right.
And I've listened to a couple of his outtakes that he has said about certain types of people. And I'm just like, I don't really like this guy. But he's right about what he said about the Briscoes and the FTR match. It's like, okay, maybe you had a great match, but WrestleMania is the story here. Like, you're not – wherever you competed, whatever type of match you had, doesn't compare to what WrestleMania is. And Dax Harwood – took offense to that and went on a he went on a Twitter tirade, took offense to it, and Dax Harwood said that he's trying to make wrestling better for the fans and blah blah blah. Here's the thing, and I wanted to get your opinion on it too, before we jump into the main part of our podcast here. Al Snow was a guest on a show a few years ago. I don't know if it was a podcast or radio show, whatever it was. And he talked about exactly what Dax Harwood and Mark Madden, like what their beef is, kind of. And he asked the people, the host of the radio show, he said, what was the best match of WrestleMania 3? And the radio host said, Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat. And Al Snow said, do you realize how dumb that is? And the guy, the host was like kind of confused. He was like, I don't understand. He said, listen, he's like, if you want to say in hindsight that the best wrestling match on the card was Steamboat and Savage, that's fine. But the best match was Hogan Andre. Why? Because it drew over 93,000 people to the Silverdome. That's why people were there, right? How many times have we seen Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat? Their trilogy of matches is considered one of the greatest trilogy of matches ever. But Ric Flair has said that they had better matches on house shows that nobody saw, but it doesn't matter because nobody saw them.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Right. In my opinion, maybe FTR and the Briscoes did have a great match. Maybe if you compare it to the WrestleMania matches, you can say it was better if you want. But what does it mean if you're not the story? You're not WrestleMania. You're not on the WrestleMania card. You can't compare yourself to it. There's no comparison.
And to be honest with you, I wouldn't compare them if he didn't say that stupid line. I'm competing with myself or whatever the hell he said.
Yeah.
I'm competing against myself with myself, whatever, because the Mania matches. And it's like, you're in Dallas because of Mania, bro. You're riding Mania's coattails to get there, and you barely sold out a 5,000-seat arena and 70,000 both nights. Lesnar and Brock, like night two. Stone Cold Steve Austin, night one. And I think prime example is Mickie James. Mickie James tweeted out, you think you're over, and then you see Stone Cold come out.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I need to say. And she said it. That's a Hall of Famer in a nutshell, right? And that's not taken away from – I love FTR, all right? I'm not the biggest Briscoes fan, but I've never seen a lot of their work. So, admittedly, I can't say if I like them or don't like them. I love FTR. Absolutely. I think that's the tag team that got away from WWE. And I'm sure they probably had a great match because I don't doubt it because they're a great tag team. But to say and yes, they do a great job for wrestling fans – but don't tell me that you're the best match of the weekend or you're the best event of the weekend when you know why you're there. Okay? And WrestleMania did quite well. Don't say it didn't. Don't say it disappointed or whatever like that. And that comes to another thing. I'm sorry. I know we're going on a tangent here. But I really wanted to get – because we're 2 weeks in. You know, we're 2 weeks removed from WrestleMania. We got to see Cody 2 weeks in a row on Raw. The amount of fans, and this is where I'm not the biggest Young Bucks fan, and I got to agree with them when they said that the wrestling fans are the most toxic fan base. The fact that we saw all these people burn their Cody Rhodes Bullet Club shirts or AEW shirts because he went to WWE, you guys are stupid as hell. Like,
yeah,
why are you not happy for a guy who made himself a bigger star, jumpstart a new company? Go back to the company that he left because he thought he was a bigger star than he should have been. And now he's a huge star. I don't understand why. Because he left your precious AEW. There's plenty of guys there now with the amount of people they're signing. Samoa Joe's there now that, you know, I just don't understand it. The cultist, as I'm going to say it, because it's like an AEW cult at this point that is shitting on Cody. Oh, he's never a star. Cody and Seth had no storytelling. Yes, they did. You know what doesn't have storytelling? This is Wednesday. Dynamite's on. Minoru Suzuki against Samoa Joe that should have been built up for a couple of weeks just gets thrown on a random Dynamite for the ROH TV title. But that's pay-per-view quality. There's no storytelling there. Why do I care about that match? But besides it being a dream match, there's nothing behind it. But you'll never say that because it's on Dynamite. It's bullshit. I'll go on a record and say there are some weeks that NXT is way better than Dynamite. Rampage is shit. Sorry, I'll say it. Dynamite has its moments. It's very good. Shout out to Adam Cole and Christian Cage for that match last week. That opener was fantastic. FT on the Young Bucks tore it down. But don't say, first of all, the same people that are burning the shirts and saying, oh, he left AEW, he's a traitor, were probably the same people that were booing him in the stands at AEW wanting him to turn heel. So
exactly. And that's the bigger point. That's the bigger point to point out. It's like you were booing them. You were booing him. 100% booing him. Because you hate, because you hated him. He hated his wife. And now you're a
ruining AEW. He doesn't put nobody over. He wins every match. He does and this now, and that, blah, 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 blah. And now he leaves. He's a traitor.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're offended that he left to go to WWE. AEW can be a great, and I've said this since day one, they're a great alternative. It's nice to have two companies. AEW is not and probably will never be WWE. It just won't.
AEW is a solid number two.
It's a solid number two because there really is no other two. I mean, ROH is, I mean, AEW bought them.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing now. So
I'm a firm believer, bro. Didn't mean to cut you off there, but I'm a firm believer that we could like every wrestling company. We could like AEW and WWE and New Japan and Impact, and we can appreciate little things. And as much as we criticize AEW, as much as we criticize WWE, we go on fucking tirades on how bad WWE sometimes is. To say that they're on a level of WWE, they are not. I'm sorry, they're not. They're a great number two. And as soon as you embrace it and say, this is a solid company alternative to WWE, as opposed to saying that everything they do is better, it's not. And the owner is believing and drinking his own fucking Kool-Aid, and it's going to lead to their downfall. That's the problem. Because in my head, when I saw the whole, did you see the tweet about the bots? I sent you that, right?
Yeah, I saw that shit.
Pointing out everything against AEW's bots. The minute I saw that, I'm like, how many years before we get a Tony Khan Dark Side of the Ring episode?
Yeah, I mean, oh, God. And my response to you when you sent me that was, nowadays, everybody who either loses or just hears something that they don't like, it's a conspiracy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everything is a damn conspiracy now. The WWE is creating bots. If we know anything about Vince McMahon, and we don't know a lot about him because none of us know him personally. Yep. But if you listen to the real stories that are told about him by people who work with him, people like Bruce Pritchard on his podcast, people like Jim Cornette on his podcast, they will all tell you the same thing. Vince McMahon does not care about the other wrestling companies. He just doesn't. He didn't even care about WCW until the Nitro debut, when he said, okay, that's real competition. And still wasn't really paying attention to what they were doing. I doubt very much that Vince McMahon cares enough about AEW to create bots to talk shit about them. It's stupid.
Yeah, I think it's very silly. Bots do exist. I understand that. But to imply that WWE is doing all this just to all these burner accounts. I bet you Tony Khan has 10 burner accounts on his own. Honestly, it's like I think it's ridiculous to me. Be an owner, be a businessman, run your company and run it well. You in a span of 2 years, you've made it the number two wrestling company, along with WWE. Keep it that way. Stop with the bullshit. That's what I'm trying to say. Like you have a national TV deal. Okay, people, fans are thinking that everything you put out is better than the top company. Keep running it that way. Stop fucking around. Stop with the bullshit. Keep running your company the way it is, and you'll be fine.
Maybe just accept that your product is not as nationally appealing as you think it is.
Stop focusing on what WWE does. Stop talking about how we don't need a performance center, how I can't believe WWE let Swerve and Keith Lee go. You know what? They got released. Okay, you snatched them up. Good for you. Love Swerve. Love Keith Lee. Do something with them. Okay. It's been 117 days since Ruby Soho had a win on national TV. It's been 70 days since she's actually been on national TV. We touted her as the next game changer. Focus on all the people you're snatching up and how you can fit them into storylines. And I'm not expecting her to be on TV and killing it because Asuka hasn't been on TV in over 200 days. So there's a dichotomy there. But if you focus on your own product, and less on talking about how you don't need a performance center and I don't care about this and my I'm competing with my product, with my own other product, fuck off, do your own shit, and your fucking your company is just fine where it is. And I would appreciate it more, honestly. To me, you look like a billionaire wrestling fan who started a wrestling company and have no idea what the fuck you're doing. And that's where I'm going to end. My bad, Chad. Still being mean, bro.
All right. Well, with that said, why don't we just jump into our tournament, the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. We're up to round 3.
Hell yeah. Let's do this.
All right, so let's start with, and if you haven't checked out the other episodes where we did the first round, the second round, go check those out. And let's get right into this because we are almost there. Let's start with the attitude era here. Why don't we do that?
Oh, okay, right off the bat. I like that. Let's go.
All right, let's go with Chris Jericho and Jeff Jarrett. Who is the better IC champion?
This is easy. I think this one's an easy win for Chris Jericho. Jarrett, solid IC champ, nowhere near the level of Jericho in terms of matches, reigns, feuds. Yeah, I mean Jericho's the most reigns all time. There's a reason for that. He always held down that mid card because he could always steal the show with those, you know, the RVD feuds, the Benoit feuds, the Eddie feuds, Jeff Hardy, all those things. You know, like
Rey Mysterio, yeah.
Right. So to me, this is it. This is like Jericho walks into the next round.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think Jeff Jarrett, and this is the part where from here on, we have to get really nitpicky because we have to eliminate people so people can advance. The biggest rivalry that Jeff Jarrett had for the Intercontinental title was against China. And you can say Razor Ramon as well. I think Jericho just had, he did a lot more with it than Jeff Jarrett did. But that's not really taken a whole lot away from Jarrett, to be honest.
It's not. He had a solid reign. He was always a solid heel. But like, yeah, maybe China, the most notable feud, and he was on his way out anyway and negotiated big money to drop the title to begin with. Nothing special, honestly, you know? I mean, maybe the match against Michaels was good. Where
when your Michaels house beat him. Yep.
Right, when he beat him. Solid match. But other than that, Jericho, I think, honestly, yeah, he takes the cake. Overall, Jericho was a much better IC champ. And I'm going to be very, very – we may have to go a little bit – I mean, we're going to get more and more, like, this sort of in terms of scrutiny this entire reign. And I'll tell you now, if Jericho gets into this next round, what may hold him back is the co-reign with China. And I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but that's the stuff we have to now, as he moves on, needs to start looking at a little bit more closely, I think.
All right, so – moving on to the other match of the Attitude Era bracket, Chris Benoit and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, you know what? I'm going to divert to you for this one. This is difficult.
It is difficult.
I don't want to elevate Benoit because of his thing. But so not counting that, Austin... both reigns were cut short because one of injury and one he was on his way to the world titles. It was a means to an end. He really didn't do anything outside of the Rock feud. Benoit was a better Intercontinental champion than Austin was. But I think personal, I have to put personal feelings aside here, but I don't want to put Benoit in the next round, but that's not counting his wrestling work. If I'm just counting that, then Benoit, I think, wins here. But go ahead.
I agree that Benoit was the better workhorse Intercontinental champion. None of his reigns were particularly long, but he did have more meaningful feuds, I think, than Stone Cold did. I know we all remember Stone Cold's feud with The Rock and his feud with Owen Hart, but it was like you said, it was cut short. And I just think Benoit was the better mid-card champion because...
yeah.
For a long time, until Benoit won the world title, that's where Benoit was going to stay, was mid-card, right? Like, he was a main eventer who they could slip into main events.
He was the good hand, that if you needed a good match, main eventer otherwise, you could just slip him in and he would give you the good match.
Right. I mean, he was world champion, and I remember being very happy when he was, but he was always just the mid-card standard, and I do think that he was the better IC champ over Austin.
I mean, this is not defending the reigns, but this is a time in the Attitude Era where they traded titles a lot. A lot of Raw, SmackDown, they traded the titles a lot, pay-per-view. So, like, if you think about it, like, check this out. So, he wins at a WrestleMania 2000, right? 30 mm-hmm. days. Loses it to Jericho 30 days later. Jericho only has it for 6 days. Then he wins it back. So he loses to Jericho on a SmackDown, wins it back on a Raw. You know what I mean? 43 days. And then his next reign comes back in 2000 against Billy Gunn. He's a 42-day reign. And then his next reign after that is not until 2002. And it's a 27-day reign. But at this point, they're literally just trading titles back and forth.
Yeah.
Right? Rob Van Dam wins it on a May from Eddie. Eddie wins it on a Backlash. Rob Van Dam wins it at a Raw. And Benoit wins it on another Raw in July. So it's like Rob Van Dam in May, Benoit in July. Like, they were just trading titles back and forth. So the fact that he doesn't have like a long triple-digit reign doesn't say anything to him. It's indicative of the time. Attitude Era, they were just trading the title back and forth. Tag titles. The reason why the Dudleys have so many tag title reigns too, like tag titles, Intercontinental, the European Championship at this time. Like, they were just trading it, like, literally. And so they unified the title, even, kind of like settled down.
Even the world title. So that's our Attitude Era final. Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit. That's the final matchup for the Attitude Era.
Oof. Battle of Chris's. Battle of the Canadians, too.
All right. So let's go down to the modern era. And the first matchup there, The Miz and Dolph Ziggler.
Wow. That's a good one. That might be one of the best ones we have. So Miz is second in terms of total title reigns. He's at 8. He's one away from Jericho, right? As a heel champion, really, really good with the IC belt title. Excuse me. He corrected Cody on Monday when he said belt. He said it's a title, not a belt. Good for him. And Ziggler, though. Dude, I mean, Ziggler, this is solid. So let's compare the two, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We got Ziggler's first reign, if I'm looking at it correctly, 2010 at 160 days, right? The Miz at 85. Then he had a one-day reign, WrestleMania 29 pre-show, which I was there. He beat Wade Barrett, lost it back the next night. He had another 28-day reign, and then Ziggler wins it. That's the him and Ziggler feud at that point. Ziggler has a fantastic match with Luke Harper, rest in peace, Brody Lee, at TLC. Harper beats him at a Raw. He wins it back in the TLC. It was a ladder match. If you haven't seen that match, it's so underrated. It's so good. Only a 22-day reign, loses it to Bad News Barrett. Okay, The Miz beats Zack Ryder after that one-day reign in WrestleMania 32. When Maurice debuts, he has a nice – that probably his one of his – probably his best reign after 32 in Dallas. It's a 188-day reign, but it's really good. Maurice comes back. He brings in oh, my God. Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, the Miz Taraj, right? And then he has the great feud with Ziggler, and then he loses to Ziggler. No Mercy in a fantastic match, title versus career. And then he goes he wins it back, wins it to Ambrose. He has a little feud with Reigns in between wins it back in Brooklyn at the 25th anniversary. Dude, I'm back and forth here, but I'm gonna go Miz. I think Miz is the better IC champ as a heel champion. He's fantastic. The 188-day reign after he beats Ryder was such a good reign. He has so many good reigns in between. He has the Ziggler feud. He has the Reigns feud. Not to mention the great match at 34 to open the show, the triple threat where Rollins wins the title from him and he beats him and Finn Balor in that match. That was probably the last of his great reigns when he had Mr. Rod with him. Not discounting Ziggler, but really, if I'm really looking closely at it, I'm going Miz. I don't know where you're going there.
I think it's Miz by a small margin.
Yes. Yes. I will say that too.
Yeah. I just, this is, and I've said it a few times that the modern era is the era where they put these titles on these guys, the mid-card titles, and then we don't see them do a whole lot with them. The Miz, he kept being Intercontinental Champion so they could tell us how important he is to the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same, you could probably say the same for Dolph Ziggler. I mean, it's pretty close as far as...
I love Dolph Ziggler. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of the modern era. I gotta say, yeah. I absolutely love Dolph. I think he's one of the most underrated guys on the roster, along with Miz. I'm not the biggest Miz fan, but Miz is severely underrated, and so is Ziggler. But Miz, in terms of quality, I think the one reign right there, the one that he wins after Mania, I think puts him over the top by a small margin, because after that, him and Ziggler do have this fantastic watch. If you haven't seen it, whoever's listening right now, No Mercy 2016, Ziggler Miz is a great fucking match. Really good match. The match where he loses it to Ambrose is a good match. It was on a SmackDown randomly, and then he beats him back at Extreme Rules. But everything in between there, the WrestleMania match, and then it kind of tapers off after that because then Rollins went into the feud with Ziggler again. I think, yeah, Miz takes it. And I also got to say one thing, too, here. So are we in agreement that Miz is moving on here?
Miz is moving on, yep.
Okay. So the fact that people had such a problem that Miz was Cody's first match back on Raw is completely asinine.
Why would they have a problem with it?
So many people criticize, of course, it's the Miz. Miz can't wrestle. All this other bullshit, this criticism. Miz could definitely wrestle. Miz is a great heel. Okay, AJ Styles, who everyone considers the best wrestler right now on the planet, you know, akin to Shawn Michaels, says the best heel in the biz is the Miz. I don't know. I think it's an unfair criticism. I think the fact that him and Cody are going to mix it up, that leads to him and Rollins getting a backlash, I thought it was really good. I was actually excited for them to actually mix it up. To me, it just shows how much people don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good... It was a good first opponent, and it's probably the most logical one. Like Miz kind of gets that distinction where, you know, he's thrown in there with guys who like make their return, or he's like their measuring stick kind of.
He's a good fucking hand, and he's a good heel. Like I loved what he did with. He was like, I want the belt. It's a title. Belt holds up your pants. He's like, you're a wrestler. He's like, superstars. And like, he kept correcting Cody on all the things that he was saying wrong. And it was fantastic because he kept going back at him because that's the WWE style. And at the same time, it's an FU to the cultist. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so I don't know. I thought it was fantastic. Anyway, Miz moves on.
All right.
Difficult, that one.
Yeah. Well, the other one here, speaking of Cody Rhodes, and he's going up against Seth Rollins. I'm going Seth Rollins here. I think Seth Rollins.
I went silent there, but go ahead.
You know, Cody brought the title back. He had that great first reign, and then it just kind of tapered off after he lost it to Big Show.
Here's the thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but like I said last time we recorded, when they put it on Seth Rollins, it felt like they were doing that to raise the bar for it, right? To give it a boost, a level boost. And they definitely did that with him. So I'm going Seth Rollins here.
Okay. While I agree with that, I'm going to argue for the other side real quick. Cody Rhodes, beats Ezekiel Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. Which was like, well, yeah, who gives a shit? But he has this 200 over 200 day reign where I've said this every single time that he's moved on. I thought for sure he was going to break Honky Tonk's streak. He brings back the classic IC title only with the white strap. He does his whole promo. And I thought for sure they were strapping the rocket to him and going all the way up. And even Cody said Dusty told him he felt that the rocket was strapped to him and they felt like they took it away from him by losing to the Big Show at 28. It was 28. It was the one in Miami. And then he won it back the next month at Extreme Rules, but it was only a 20-day reign only to lose to Christian. I think it was bullshit. I think the reign could have went on significantly longer, but he did bring back a lot of prominence to the IC belt. He was the title. He was a great champion at that time. He was a nice heel champion. Okay. However, and this is where I'm going to agree with you, Chris, here. Seth Rollins, when they put the belt on him, is when I thought, like, oh, shit, they're going to fucking take this IC title and bring it back to some, like, Mr. Perfect, Bret Hart level type shit. He's going to have great matches, which he did. Mm-hmm. Did the Ziggler feud, the Ambrose feud, and, like, he was having matches every week. That was solid. And the match at WrestleMania alone was really, really good. I just wish he had a significantly longer reign. He lost it 70 days after the Ziggler, and then he wins it back at SummerSlam. It's like a 120-day reign before he loses it back to Ambrose. So Ambrose turns on him. And in between there, like, he came back as members of the Shield. So, like, his reign kind of got muddled a little bit because he got, like, the Shield returned. Then Ambrose came back. And then him and Ambrose feuded for a bit. It's hard because, to me, both of those guys are responsible for kind of only bringing back prestige to the IC title. So I'll go with you because you went first. I'll go with Seth Rollins. Reluctantly, though, I think Cody's, you know, this is very hard as we get here.
It's going to be really hard, yeah. As we are recording, Samoa Joe just won the Ring of Honor television title.
I could have told you he was gonna do that. I already called. Oh my god! It's like it's so blatant.
It was a good match though. Him and Minoru.
I'm sure it was. No, Minoru Suzuki's fantastic. Samoa Joe was fantastic. But like when they announced the match with little to no buildup, and Suzuki is the ROH TV champion, I was like, he's gonna win. He's gonna win the title. Joe's winning the title already because they want to placate fans. Because people now are gonna go on Twitter and say, Joe's already better pushed than he ever was in his entire WWE run. Not to account for the fact that he was injured so often in WWE.
Yeah, he was injured a lot.
So that's the problem I have with these naysayers. You get what I'm saying? I could go on Twitter right now, and I guarantee you I'm going to find one right now that says they did more with Joe in 2 weeks than WWE ever did in his entire run. Like, oh, go fuck off. It's so bad.
Samoa Joe is a three-time NXT champion. He was, two-time United States champion, but he was also injured a whole lot. So
yes. And he had great matches. I was there for the match with him and Nakamura. Fantastic match. Oh, here we go. Tony Khan has a massive announcement in store for fans next week at Dynamite. Every week is massive.
Well, let's continue on here with our tournament. Let's go up to, why don't we do Ruthless? Oh, the Modern Era, the final there is Miz and Seth Rollins. And let's do the Ruthless Aggression era here. Let's go Christian and Edge. What a matchup that is, huh?
Battle of the Brothers.
This is a tough one, too.
Both have reigns that are not as significant as you think they are because they're IC champs, but they're not. Whew. Edge has – I don't want to say Edge has the edge. That sounds fucking stupid. But he does end – Randy Orton's 210-day ring.
He does.
Yeah. So that is significant. Okay. On the flip side to that, when they unified the title, Christian wins it when they bring it back. He wins that battle royal, and then they do the whole him and Booker left or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, there's him and Booker T.
He wins it at what Judgment Day? It was Judgment Day. Right.
Yep.
It was a battle royal. And then he has it. It's only a 50-day reign. On the flip side to that, though, Edge's once he ends Orton's reign, it's only a 57-day reign. He had to vacate it due to injury.
Yep.
Right. So that's that. Those are the two. Because I don't want to count the 1-day reign that Edge had when he beat Jared. He had the 63-day reign when he beat Test, and he unified the United States Championship and. Yeah, the Intercontinental Championship, right? So that's a significant thing, too, there. He unified WCW and a WWE title during this reign, right? So Edge has the fucking edge. I'm sorry. He has the edge in terms of significance, right? Unifying a title, ending a very, very long reign that some will say is one of the greatest reigns of all time, okay? Christian does beat Edge at Unforgiven, if you remember, but it's only a 28-day reign.
It loses it back in the ladder.
It was right back to Edge. Yeah, it was a ladder match in No Mercy. It was another 15-day reign. Like, oh my God, he loses it back. He loses the fucking Test. I don't know, dude. I'm going to go Edge because of significance. He ends at Randy Orton's historic one reign at, you know, over 200 days. He unified the United States and an IC title in that match. In terms of Christian has it. Not anything great of significance. He's had great matches with it. He beats Cody Rhodes in his second reign. Only another like 64-day reign at that point. Yeah, I think Edge. In terms of significance, Edge did more with it. Even in short, in you know, even they both had short reigns. But that's again, we said this already. Like Attitude Era reigns didn't really stretch out to anything meaningful. But the fact that he unified a title, ended a very, very long reign, I'm going to go Edge here.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is Edge. I think Christian, I think, was meant to be a transitional champion. I think that's kind of all he really ever was with the Intercontinental title. I think the IC title was put on Edge to make sure that we knew that he was a rising star.
Important, yeah.
Important. And, you know, as much as I like Christian, he always just felt transitional to me. So Edge moves on. Now the final matchup here, the Ruthless Aggression third round. Kind of an easy one, I think. Shelton Benjamin and Randy Orton.
There's Randy Orton all the way through. There's no way. all of Shelton Benjamin's reigns combined does not equate to the one reign that Randy Orton had at, you know, his initial reign, the only reign he had, where it was, he's just fantastic, dude. It's amazing. It's one of the best reigns of all times. 210 days, right? Mm-hmm. It's Mick Foley feuds, Chris Jericho feuds, Rob Van Dam, who he takes it off of, the Legend Killer gimmick all the way through. I mean, dude, I said this last episode, he coasts.
Yeah, I think he does as well. I can already start seeing who's going to move on to the final four. All right, so Randy Orton moves on. He will face Edge in the finals of the Ruthless Aggression bracket. And let's get to our final third round bracket here, the Golden Era. All right, let's start with Pat Patterson and Bret Hart. Bret Hart. This is easy for me.
You don't want to go Pat Patterson? Are you serious?
I know Pat Patterson's the first ever.
He's first ever in name only. He never won the title.
He never really won the title. Pat Patterson's a legend. There's no doubt about it, but Bret Hart, I think it's Bret Hart here.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. This is to me a very, very easy pick. And if we want to go, we want to pull receipts. I can pull Bret Hart receipts all day. I think, and then to avoid all that.
So let's go to one that's going to be a little bit harder, and that's Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels.
This is the hardest one of the night. Already. That's it. It's over.
Oh boy.
Ooh, man.
This is hard. Wow. Because Shawn's first reign, when he beat Bulldog, he had that great feud with Mark Jannetty, lost it, won it back from Jannetty, and then went on a long run until he was stripped of it, and that's when Razor became champion for the first time. And then they had their classic rivalry for it. I think Razor had more. I think he contributed more to the IC title because he had more feuds for it. He feuded with Shawn. That was the first big feud with Shawn Michaels, right? He feuded with Diesel over it. He feuded with Goldust. He feuded with Jeff Jarrett. Shawn Michaels feuded with Jannetty, feuded with Perfect, feuded with Razor.
He's only been beaten once for the title, though. He only lost it to Jannetty. He vacated it.
He vacated it twice.
And vacated due to injury. He gave it to Dean Douglas by forfeit, but he was too hurt to actually win.
Yeah, that's when he was attacked by the Marines.
The Syracuse thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's break it down, because this is legitimately the hardest one. I stayed silent for weeks. I had to look some stuff up. But so he beats Bulldog. Let's go Michaels first, right? Bulldog at the last Saturday Night's Main Event, he goes on a long over 200-day reign. I think it's 202 days, right? Loses Jannetty on a Raw, wins it back on a house show. It's 113-day reign before he has to vacate it for a suspension because of steroids and bullshit. And his Razor's first reign here, right? But let's go back to Razor in a minute. He doesn't win it back until 95, right? He beats Jarrett for it. At In Your House. Very good match. And then again, forfeits due to injury. And then he's kind of off to the races in terms of world title picture.
Right. And that reign, the only time I think I can say he actually defended it, any type of meaningful defense, was the ladder match at SummerSlam against Razor, the rematch.
Which is a severely underrated match, because it's very good. Not it's as good as WrestleMania 10, but it's a good match. Yep. Razor, on the other hand, wins it 93 after he vacates it. He loses it to Diesel, wins it back at SummerSlam, loses it to Jarrett. Again, vacated. He wins it again from Jarrett at a house show. They kind of, you know, they traded back and forth. Wins it again with D'Lo's. I'm going to agree with you and say Razor was more significant in his reigns than Michaels was to his, because I think he had more significant feuds for his. Because don't forget that he had those feuds with IRS in the mix,
mm-hmm.
and he defended a lot more. He had the Goldust feud, even though it didn't really last that long because he was kind of like
iffy. He was uncomfortable with it, yeah.
Right. Michaels, and I said this last episode, could go down as one of the great. It could make the argument as he's the greatest IC champ. But for me, if we're really scrutinizing this, the fact that he only lost it once and had to vacate it twice, and you know, once because of supposedly positive for steroids, but in if you ask any other people, they say that he quit.
Yeah, he quit. Yeah.
It depends on who you ask. And the other thing, And he never actually like dropped the title to anybody. Hey, I'm gonna go Razor. Razor didn't mind dropping it if it made sense. You know what I mean? He always did business.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Razor Ramon here, like I said as well. His reign sticks out to me more than Shawn Michaels does. And I'll just leave it off with that.
I don't disagree. Yeah.
So that's it. So we're into the, what is this? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The great eight of the tournament before we head to the final four. And we got the Golden Era's Bret Hart and Razor Ramon. The Attitude Era's Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit. Ruthless Aggression's Randy Orton and Edge. And the Modern Era's The Myth and Miz and Seth Rollins. Wow. So what do you want to do? You want to do it right now?
I mean, screw it. That was quick. You want to just do two rounds?
It was quick. Let's just do this next round. Let's make our final four right now.
Fuck it, bro. We missed 2 weeks. Let's do two rounds in a row. All right.
Let's do it. So let's start with... All right. Let's go with the modern era. Let's do the Miz and Seth Rollins. Who's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of the modern era?
I'm going... if off an initial thought with that, and I thought about it when they both moved on, I got to go Miz here. I like Seth, and I agree with what you said, that when they put the belt on Seth, it felt like they were going to go somewhere with it. But the thing is that they didn't. They did right. For a while. And then
for a
once
while.
Once they took the title off of him, they didn't. With Miz, whenever they put the title on him, it did mean something, especially that longer reign he had after WrestleMania. Like, it meant something. He was a heel Intercontinental Champion. You wanted him to lose every week. You wanted somebody to beat him, whether it was Ziggler, Reigns, Rollins. Like, he did bring something to that title. Granted, maybe he wasn't defending it every single week. He was having 5-star matches every single week. But I don't know. I just feel like, yes, Rollins felt like they were going somewhere with it, but then it petered out with The Miz. Every time he has that title as a heel, it's like, oh shit, okay, yeah, they're gonna put some steam behind him. You know what I mean?
So here's where this round is kind of gonna be easier for me than originally thought, right?
Mm.
Because now we're getting down to each era. Who is the standard for each era? And much like the top title, the WWF title, right? Who is the standard for the Attitude Era with the WWF title? Of Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? When you think of that, you're going to think Stone Cold. When you think of the Golden Era, the 80s, and you say WWF champion, you're going to think Hulk Hogan. When you say Intercontinental Champion Modern Era, it's going to be The Miz.
I think
And I think that's why I'm going The Miz here as well, because The Miz, the title always found its way back to him for whatever reason. And I've criticized them for how they use the mid-card titles. I still do. I mean, we talked about WrestleMania before. The fact that neither the U.S. or the IC title was defended at all the entire weekend
is a fucking travesty.
It is a travesty. I don't like that at all. Austin Theory, I think, will win the U.S. title on Raw next week, which means that it'll just be another meaningless reign for Finn Balor. But yeah, that's a rant for another day. But I think when you think of who the standards are for the modern era and the IC title, it's Miz.
I'm with it. Let's go.
Who does he go up against? Because he's going to face the winner of the Ruthless Aggression bracket, which it comes down to Randy Orton and Edge. And again, same thing. It's Randy Orton. Randy Orton's reign was significant. It meant that Randy Orton was here. He was on the rise.
And he's going to be a future world champion, which he ended up being. I agree with you 100%. This is where it is. Orton, like, this is what I said last episode. He walks in. This is very easy. This is very, very easy. And you're right. When we talk about, like, if we talk about Ruthless Aggression, we say who's the best Intercontinental Champion out of there, it's him. Every time.
Let's go Attitude Era. Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit. Now, this is where Benoit gets eliminated for me, and not just because of personal stuff, but again, same thing. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to think of in the Attitude Era when you think of the Intercontinental Championship? Well, Chris Jericho was Intercontinental Champion 9 times. Spread out over the Attitude and the Ruthless Aggression Era, and even the Modern Era a little bit when he feuded with Rey Mysterio. But Jericho will always be the person thought of when you think of Intercontinental Champions over each era. And that's why I think he gets over Benoit here for me.
I was on the fence about Benoit before, but taking away all that nonsense. It's, yeah, I think he wins hands down.
All right, and last but not least, the winner of the Golden Era is either Bret Hart or Razor Ramon.
This is the hardest one.
This is the hardest one. But my pick is Bret Hart.
Whoa. Give me the reason why you're choosing Bret Hart, because I was going to go Razor. So let's hear this.
Bret Hart brought a level of prestige to the title. And I said this in one of our other episodes, maybe the first one, when we did the first round. He brought a level of prestige to that belt that not many other people did. He was always defending it. They were always quality matches. He had good feuds for it. He had great matches for it. Bret Hart was the guy that I think made everybody start calling the Intercontinental Championship the workhorse championship. And that's why I pick him.
I'm just going to go with that. That was a great argument. I'm not even going to defend Razor at this point. I love Razor, but I think you're absolutely right there, because if you ever watched, like, once he won it and you watched Superstars every Saturday, like we used to do, he was always on Superstars defending the title against somebody. Wrestling against a jobber or somebody. You know what I mean? Like, he was always doing it. And, you know, in between there, yeah, he loses it to the Mountie, whatever. But it was the whole point to get to Piper. So him and Piper at WrestleMania 8, which is another fantastic match.
Yeah.
And then he has another fantastic match against Bulldog at SummerSlam. And that's when he, you know, that's it. Because he's off to the races in terms of the world title picture. But, yeah, man, that was a good – you swayed me. That was a great argument. I'm going to go Bret Hart.
All right, so there it is. So here is our final four matchups. Bret Hart versus Chris Jericho. Talk about a dream match. And Randy Orton versus The Miz.
The Randy Orton Miz one might be the hardest one. Yeah, wow. Oof. That's solid. That's a solid final four if we're talking Intercontinental Champions.
It certainly is. And it's not going to be an easy argument, but we're going to try to do it. We're going to try to pick a winner, I think, the next time we record here. So our next episode, we're probably going to pick a winner.
Do we need something to sway us either way? Or are we just going to go straight debate? Do we need to watch a match? Do we need to watch the first matches where they won the title? Or are we just going to go like, screw it, let's pull all the receipts. Let's look at every single match, every single feud, days of length of reigns. You know what I mean? Like, do we just need to do that? I don't know. There's a lot to scrutinize here.
I kind of wouldn't mind doing some type of watch along and watching some of these matches. We may have to stretch it out to two episodes if we do that, because it would be a while. If we watch one match for each of the four, that's gonna be a long episode. So we'd have to stretch it out. But I wouldn't mind doing that, because I already know in my head which ones I probably would want to watch.
I mean, if you're thinking, for me, for a Hart, it'd be perfect in Hart when he won it at SummerSlam, right? Or are you going somewhere else?
I mean, we could do that. I was thinking the one you just mentioned before, just because I haven't seen it in a long time. And that would be Piper and Bret Hart.
Dude, Piper and Hart, you know what? I haven't seen that in a long time either. That is a good one. I haven't seen that in a long time as well. I think maybe we need to revisit that one, because that is a fucking good match.
Yeah. I think the Chris Jericho. Man, we could watch that ladder match, him and Benoit at the Rumble.
Okay. Here's the best part about that match is the Walls of Jericho on the ladder.
On top of the ladder. Yep.
That's also a classic. Yeah. I mean, and then when you're talking Orton, we could talk
him and Mick Foley backlash.
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say that. Yeah. Him and Mick Foley backlash, fantastic match. And then The Miz, I don't know. I mean, The Miz is different. I mean, we could talk. If I'm going Miz, I would go a match where he lost it, and it would probably be him and Ziggler, the career versus title match. I really love that match.
Yeah, I think him and Ziggler, like, if you look at Miz's greatest rivals, if they ever did a greatest rivals for The Miz, or even a greatest rivals for Dolph Ziggler, they're each going to be on there for each other. So, yeah, so that's it. So you guys got to let us know what you think of our Final Four here.
Absolutely.
Who would move on? Who would move on? If you guys want to pick a winner out of the four, go right ahead and do that.
At Wrestling Guys PC, we have the Final Four set. You let us know who is, and if whoever's in your Final Four is not in our Final Four, that's what I want to know. Did
yeah,
we miss somebody?
Yours
did
is.
We overlook somebody? That's what I want to know right now. It was hard, man. It was hard getting to the Final Four. I feel like certain people, like we said, Miz and Orton kind of almost coasted. But this is going to get very hard when we get to this, as we are, to this Final Four. So I want to know, at Wrestling Guys PC, let us know. Let us know everything. How you doing? So as I'm looking here, Chris, I'm seeing a lot of people saying that the main event was not good and that the ending of the AEW was garbage. And that Marina Shafir's TV match was one of the worst in AEW's history.
Oh, yeah, that match wasn't good. I mean, I know I said the Samoa Joe Suzuki match was good. In fairness, I did say that while we're recording, so my attention was diverted. I couldn't watch the match for it.
They're not saying the match itself was bad. They're saying the ending of the match was bad, if I'm reading this correctly.
But
the main event was good, but the ending was bad.
Well, what ending? When he was attacked by Jay Lethal?
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt and somebody else. I don't know, some
big Kali looking guy. I don't know.
Let's call him the Great Kali. Let's just go with the Great Kali.
So how about we talked as we were talking about our Intercontinental Champions. You mentioned Bret Hart and the British Bulldog. How about WWE announcing that they're going to do their first premium live event out of the UK for the first time since then?
Yes, and it's the pre-sale is going crazy right now.
Yeah, it's scheduled for, is it September, I think, in Wales?
September 2022 in Cardiff, Wales at, God, I don't know the actual name off the top of my head.
So now what pay-per-view is usually in September after SummerSlam? Night of Champions, I think, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Like Clash of Champions.
So is that what we can assume it's going to be?
Possibly. You're talking September 3rd. It's a Saturday at Principality Stadium at Cardiff, Wales. They haven't said anything. It's not. I mean, maybe they don't even name it that. Maybe they might name it its own thing because it's not yet named. They haven't been there since 92 at Wembley Stadium. So it's huge right now. And apparently the tickets are the pre-sales. Or the people that are signing up for pre-sale orders is like off the charts.
Right. So remember, they used to do those UK pay-per-views, Rebellion, Insurrection, one night only. But those, I mean, you can watch all those now on Peacock, but they weren't broadcasted in the US. The only time they ever broadcast, well, not the only time, maybe the last time, they have a broadcasted a pay-per-view from the UK was SummerSlam 92. And now they're going to do it again. So I think that's pretty cool. They don't do it often because I know it's a big headache listening to Bruce Pritchard talk about European tours and doing shows. It's not an easy thing to do. I remember they did it in Puerto Rico. Remember New Year's Revolution?
The first one. Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, the Elimination Chamber. You gotta fly all that stuff over there. So that's not easy to do.
It's not, but when you have such a big fan base over there, they're gonna sell this out.
Oh yeah.
And absolutely. I think the whole point of that NXT UK was like the litmus test. And when they were there, they were fucking killing. When they actually had live crowds there, they were killing it.
So
I would love to see an NXT UK championship match with Ilya Dragunov defending it because I mean, I don't know if you're familiar. Ilya Dragunov is the fucking man, dude.
No, I do. I do watch him. I watch NXT UK when I can. I mean, he is really fun to watch. My only question is, how much longer until NXT UK is gone?
Until they fold. I mean, it seems like so pretty deadly. If you saw NXT this past week,
they're on NXT.
They're the NXT Tag Champions right now. First night they won the tag championships in the Gauntlet match because of MSK.
I didn't actually watch NXT, but okay.
The Gauntlet match was actually really good. The Creed brothers really shined in that match. They had their little I want to say Kofi Kingston moment. They started off at one, went all the way through to the end, but they did a hell of a job. It seems like Diamond Mine is like tweeners a little bit. They sometimes they're heel, like Ivy Nile is like almost heel, but then the Creed brothers are now turning face, I think, with Malcolm Bivens. So we'll see what happens with that. Roderick Strong hasn't been around. He had a good match against Ilya Dragunov.
Yep.
Which was good. Check that out. But yeah, Pretty Deadly came in. The Grizzly Young Vets have come in. A-Kid is now in NXT. You know,
Walter,
I would love to
see Gunther on SmackDown.
Gunther is now SmackDown. I would love to see Mustache Mountain probably back in either NXT, or if you really want to bring a tag team in, bro, they need tag teams. Bring them into NXT and kill it. I think eventually NXT 2.0 is going to absorb UK and just bring those guys over. Make Osada Mora as the NXT UK women's champion. Bring her over with Mandy Rose, and you have a bunch of people there. Dakota Kai, I'm surprised that they have not brought up to the main roster yet. You know, Raquel Rodriguez. I wanted to actually we'll end off with that, because I want to ask you a couple questions on that. But
it is so fucking stupid. I don't understand why they do it. It insults our intelligence as fans, right? This is the time where, and I said before, this whole reality era of the WWE, I kind of don't really like, right? I'm not really a fan of it. Alexa Bliss over the weekend got married. She's posting photos of a wedding, which she has a right to do, but we see all the people that are there. So it's breaking kayfabe, right?
Yeah, now, you see everybody.
Right. So I know it's a show. I know it's not real, but I don't want to be told all the time that it's not real. And I feel like they do it way too much. And I'm never insulted by it, but I'm just like, stop telling me that it's not real. Like, I already know that. I want to be entertained. I want to escape into the world of wrestling. When you take someone that we know is Pete Dunne, that you've promoted as Pete Dunne, that has appeared as Pete Dunne on your main roster pay-per-views, and now you tell us that, no, this isn't Pete Dunne, this is Butch. And you take Raquel Gonzalez, who was the NXT Women's Champion, who competed on main roster stuff. Oh, no, Gonzalez was never a last name. Now it's Rodriguez. The same thing with Marcel Bartel. There is no purpose to this. And I don't want to hear trademarks. I don't want to hear, what are you trademarking? NXT is owned. It's a WWE brand. Why does it have to change from NXT to the main roster? Why? We already know who these people are. Why are you telling us that there's somebody different now? It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Are they going to, whenever they call up Bron Breakker to the main roster, are they going to change his name? I mean, I don't like the Bron Breakker name, but are they going to do it?
He might be Bron Steiner.
After he won the NXT title on Raw, you're going to call him up and change his name? Tommaso Ciampa apparently is going to be in this new Edge faction. Are they just going to call him Ciampa, or are they going to change his name completely?
No, I think they need to keep him. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea, though.
Why are they changing these people? Why change them? Why? And then you don't change Damian Priest, which is fine. He should stay Damian Priest, but you don't change him. There are certain people that they don't change, but I really would like to ask them what the purpose of this is, because it makes no damn sense. And every time they do it, I feel a little bit more insulted by it. And this whole Raquel Gonzalez to Raquel Rodriguez is the worst one yet. It is so stupid.
All right. So here's the thing. It doesn't bother me that much. Like, we know Raquel Gonzalez, so now she's Raquel Rodriguez. People change names all the time. My only thing is that she wrestled for you WrestleMania weekend as Raquel Gonzalez and won the tag titles in NXT, lost it on Wednesday, and then Friday she's on SmackDown with a different last name. All right, fine. That's the only thing. It's like, if it was still on Peacock only and not on national TV, I'd be like, all right, they changed the name, whatever. It's on national TV, and then you change her name. Okay, fine. Marcel Bartel, two-time NXT tag champion.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes back as Ludwig Kaiser, and we're supposed to be like, oh, it's Marcel Bartel. So we're supposed to just drop, because here's the thing. For me, and before, but I should have prefaced it with this, but I really think that WWE considers NXT as still a developmental. So when they come up, they change names. But you're on national TV with NXT.
Exactly. So
it's not developmental. It's not developmental anymore.
It's not.
Right? So when you have Marcel Bartel as Marcel Bartel, but then on fucking Friday, he's Ludwig Kaiser. We're like, dude, we just saw him on Wednesday on USA.
Yeah.
as Marcel Bartel. Like, at least with Walter, Walter came to NXT and then changed it to Gunther, and he did like a whole promo with Gunther. And I actually do like what he said, like, if I was Gunther and then changed it to Walter, you'd have a problem. And I totally agree with what he said. I do. Pete Dunne being Butch, and then like he's like this like angry, almost like a fucking animal that they have to keep on a leash and like let him go. Okay, fine. Maybe he'll break out of that and become the Bruiserweight again and become Pete Dunne. But it's like, that's a guy that wrestled in the Royal Rumble several times as Pete Dunne. Mm-hmm. He wrestled and defended the NXT UK Championship against Adam Cole as Pete Dunne.
Yep.
And had a great match, by the way. So we know that that's Pete fucking Dunne. Like, just bring him in as Pete Dunne. Why are we bringing him in as Butch? Okay, he owns the name Pete Dunne, and you want to do copyright. Great. Samoa Joe came in as Samoa Joe. Finn Balor. Okay, Finn Balor changed it. But, you know, like, these guys that you came in, there are certain people you kept. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. I just want to know what the logic is. Why they feel the need to change certain ones and not other ones. And again, the Raquel Gonzalez to Raquel Rodriguez is
I don't get it.
And I almost want to just like slap him on the head and be like, what are you doing?
Whereas like Shotzi Blackheart was a cool ass name. Now
it's Shotzi. Why?
Tegan Knox was great, and then it was just Knox. And it was like, what the fuck are you doing?
It makes no sense. It is fucking stupid. And oh man, if I was there, that'd probably be every time they did it, I would complain about it. They would probably fire me because of how much I would complain. Everybody's like, oh,
I'd be fired too.
We need to just call her. I'm surprised they didn't just bring her up and call her Gonzalez. I'd be like, no, you can't do this.
Or Raquel. If they said Raquel, I'd be fine with it. Rather than change the entire last name.
I guess I would accept it more, but it's still dumb. It's dumb as hell.
It doesn't bother me as much as probably like the Butch or the Ludwig Kaiser one. Because like...
Ludwig Kaiser, yeah, that's terrible too. But Austin Theory to Theory? It doesn't even sound good.
I didn't... Theory is a terrible name. Actually, it's just Theory now. So when you introduce next week, here's your new U.S. champion, Theory. And it's like, that's fucking whack.
Yeah, it loses all. He loses all of his luster, and that's the
Austin,
problem. That
Austin Theory. It. Austin Theory.
That's a good name.
Now, if you want to drop, if they did say like I'm dropping the Austin because Austin stunned me on WrestleMania, and I don't want to have Austin in my name, so I'm just Theory, and they try to make it make sense. Cool. Not saying I like it, but at least you're doing something with why you're dropping the name. If you just come in and go, it's just Theory now, and you're like, okay. Like, yeah, if Sasha Banks is like, it's just Sasha now. And you're like, okay. But there's no story behind it. That's the problem I have. You have so many writers there. You're telling me, and I just thought of that off the top of my head.
Right.
Like, you're like, I'm not a writer for WWE. You're telling me that you couldn't have somebody say, you're pissed off that Stone Cold Steve Austin embarrassed you in WrestleMania. So you're dropping Austin as your first name and just calling yourself Theory because you don't want Austin associated with you. That's it. Fine. Like, I hate that term, make it make sense, but make it make sense.
No, well, you have to make it make sense.
Have story behind it, not just, hey, I'm just Theory.
Right.
Fuck you, Theory. No, I'd be like, oh, it's Austin Theory. I don't like Austin anymore. You see what he did to me at WrestleMania? It's just Theory. Done. It's over. There you go.
I mean, at least it would make sense, but it would also still be terrible.
It's stupid.
It's
stupid. But it would make more sense than just being like, I'm Theory now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, if they want to treat NXT 2.0 like developmental, then it has to stop being broadcast.
Take it off USA.
You can't broadcast it nationally and push these guys and push these NXT takeover events like Stand and Deliver the day of WrestleMania night one. And everybody watches it and it's like, new women's tag team champions, Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai, and then, oh, Raquel Gonzalez is on SmackDown. No, my name's Raquel Rodriguez. Why? Well, why, like, is that your name?
If you brought Tommaso Ciampa on, was like, here's Ciampa. You know, Tommaso. Johnny Gargano as Johnny. Here's Johnny. And that's it. You know, like,
that, I mean, yeah, it's like,
I don't know. There's a problem there. Like, if you just brought in Io Shirai and changed her name, you're like, the fuck you doing? You know, like, I really think it does depend. Like, if they brought in Bron Breakker and called him, and this is off the top of my head, if they brought in Bron Breakker and Bron Breakker said, my dad is Rick Steiner, I want to stay with the lineage, my new name is Bron Steiner. Cool.
You know, the only reason why I would be okay with that is because Bron Breakker is a terrible name.
Yes, but that's like turning Michael McGillicuddy, who should have just been Joe Henning the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
And Paul Heyman says, "Well, he's Curtis Axel after his grandfather and his father." Fine. It does. I mean, Curtis Axel's better than fucking Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
Like he has a lineage. Why not establish the lineage? He's Joe Henning. He's Kurt Henning's son. He's Larry the Axe Henning's grandson. Like, why are we not doing that? You know, and it happens, right? Husky Harris is Bray Wyatt. Who the fuck said Husky Harris is a great fucking name? You know, yeah. Like, it's over and over again. I mean, we could look at all these characters and be like, these fucking names were terrible. I mean, it happens time and time again. Simon Dean. I mean, like, you know, like, let's keep, you know, we can keep it going all day. But the fact that it's like, you have what you view as, I guess, developmental, but it's on national TV. You can't just bring that person on fucking 2 days later with a different name.
No, it is so stupid. And it's my biggest pet peeve that they do. And I wish they would stop it. I wish somebody would tell them to stop doing this because it doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, can you imagine, like, you know, the names matter in wrestling, right? If a name doesn't sound good, nobody's going to care. That's why Bray Wyatt was criticized so much for being called Husky Harris, you know, because it's a bad name. But can you imagine the main event of WrestleMania next year is Roman Reigns versus Theory? Like, it just doesn't sound good. I don't
Austin,
like it.
I think Austin Theory will come back for sure.
I hope it does.
It's just not a good look. Hopefully they listen to the fans on that one. But like, here's a better way, which they don't do anymore. If you ran weekly vignettes for somebody debuting, and in every vignette, like, so if Walter was coming up from NXT to WWE, like to Raw SmackDown as Walter, right? But then they ran weekly vignettes for a month, and he just said, "Walter is no longer my name. My transition. I am Gunther. I'm embracing, I don't know, family lineage, grandfather, or new brand. It's a new name, whatever." And they built up like that, I'd be fine with it. It's stupid in theory, not to, you know, turn a pun, you know, whatever, a pun intended there. But if they built it up so now you were prepared for the name rather than just debut somebody, you know, what, 2 days after they were on national TV as a different name, I think it would be better there. If they did Marcel Bartel and Gunther as Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser for 2 to 3 weeks, even a month before they debuted, then you could be like, yeah, I can get behind it. It's now, different than just, you know, like, I don't know.
And now where's Fabian Aichner?
He left. Not left, but quotation left. Because I think they just wanted Bartel and Walter. Who knows? My thing is like, why not just bring all three members of Imperium up and just call him Imperium? There's your group. The new faction on SmackDown. That's badass.
It's a new faction. It's a new tag team that can challenge for a tag team division that has no tag teams. Walter Gunther, he is a good challenger for Roman Reigns.
He's fantastic if they built him up correctly.
Why not?
If they built him up correctly, he could be the one that beats Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
He's your champion right there.
He could be. But Roman Reigns might be champion until next WrestleMania, to be honest.
I wouldn't put it past them to do that shit until Rock knocks him over.
Oh, man. I don't know what kind of look that would be.
Let's do... Okay, that's a great way. Where do you see next WrestleMania going? It's in L.A. Do you think that they're going to let him hold the title until next WrestleMania? Do they build it up somehow, in another way? Like, is the top match Rock-Roman at Mania next year?
I'm sure that's the match they want. And I think there was anticipation for this past WrestleMania that, and watching night two with my girlfriend, and we were watching the Roman Brock match, and she said that people were on social media saying, "Where's The Rock? The Rock's going to come out and challenge Roman Reigns."
That's what I thought too. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, and that didn't happen. I think that's the match they want. I think that's the match we're all thinking of, especially when next year's WrestleMania is in Los Angeles. But from what we know, there's a lot of hurdles that The Rock has to make in order to have a match again. And he can't just come in and beat Roman for the titles and then leave. He has to stick around for a little bit at least in order to drop them to somebody. With that said, will that happen? I think there's a chance. I think it's also a long shot. But I also don't see anyone that can believably dethrone Roman Reigns at this point. And I would fully expect Roman Reigns to be champion until next WrestleMania.
I wouldn't be surprised if somehow he loses it between now and then, maybe wins the Rumble. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he held on to it until then. I mean, Nakamura, which I like that they're building up somebody else as a contender.
It's great. I love Nakamura. I want to see him used at that level, but he's not going to win.
No, he's not. He's not. But yeah. Bring him back in the main event picture. Bring Finn back in the main event picture. Bring all these other guys. You have to build stars now. He's two-time champion. He's both division champion. So now you have a Raw. And it seems like they're gonna unify the tag team titles, which you've been calling for.
Yeah, I've been calling for that for years. A while. Yep.
They should, because there's not enough tag teams.
There's not enough.
So I would say do that, and then you have some champs. The way I see it, Rock, and it seems like they're on a collision course, unless Rock can't do it because of his schedule, whether it's Black Adam or something else that's coming out, and you just can't do it. In the meantime, they need to build up other fucking people. Gunther's there, excuse me. They need to build him up as a monster heel to combat him. They need to start building up other guys. Even if it's, Big E's not there anymore. So then, even if it's the Theories, the Nakamuras, the Balors, the Rollins, KO, they need to start building up other people to be legitimate threats to him. Because as of right now, like he said, he's on God mode. No one can touch him right now. But there's nobody that you could say, oh, I think this guy's going to rise up and beat him. There's nobody left. They have to start building up people, you know?
Any match, any pay-per-view or premium live event match that they make where Roman Reigns is in the main event defending the title, there is not one person on their roster that they can put him up against where you would question whether or not Roman is going to lose.
Right. Unless even Cena, because Cena came back and beat Cena too.
Right. He's beaten literally everybody. And I can see that that's the point, but there also has to be a point where there is somebody that can believably challenge him to where you're tuning in and going, can Roman actually lose the belts tonight? And they're not doing that.
That's where they're lacking right now, the lack of legitimate heavyweight title contenders. And he's also beating everybody, so who's left? Unless Bray comes back or somebody like that. Because even when we were watching Night 2, Rock comes back. Or what if Bray came back? He was in Dallas. If they signed The Fiend to come back because he beat him at SummerSlam for the initial reign, whatever. I don't think that'll happen, but there's something. They have to do something big. And Cody's there now. So is Cody, can Cody be lifted up to that status where he wins the world title?
I mean, that's true. I mean, it could be him. I know they're doing different things now with Edge. Edge gets to that level again, but I don't know. I would not be surprised if come SummerSlam, which is not – SummerSlam will be here before we know it, and it's the second biggest event of the year, if the main event for SummerSlam is Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
You're probably not wrong. And then Roman wins again or something, or Brock wins this time. I don't know. It seems like Brock's taking a little hiatus. He always does this after Mania anyway. He did a great job. Not a big Brock Lesnar fan, but he did a great job. I wouldn't be surprised either. But they have to build other stars. We need other people there, and that goes to show too. In terms of building other stars. You have Xavier Woods win the King of the Ring, and now they've completely dropped the King Woods gimmick. Why?
Yeah, I think they did it after Big E's injury, and it's now their gimmick and I hate to even put it this way because it doesn't sound nice, but their gimmick is just to honor Big E.
Yeah, I think that's terrible.
That's their gimmick now.
Like he doesn't. He could have did. He was doing wonders before he got hurt. Woods. He was doing great things with the King gimmick, like him and Kofi coming out every week. He had the different music. He had the crown, like the way he was wearing his shit. And then now it's just like, oh yeah, it's Xavier Woods who's no longer King. But yeah, Zelina is still Queen. So whatever. I don't know. There's a lot of things we could talk about. We could do a whole other episode on everything that we just literally talked about. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like I said, as much as we criticize AEW, as much as we just criticize WWE, we just found a whole thing just now. You know, we're equal opportunity offenders. If we don't like it, we don't like it, bro. Like, it is what it is, you know, and send all of your comments, questions, concerns, hate mail to our Wrestling Guys PC. All right. We love to hear all the comments. We love to hear all your criticisms. We love to hear that we're being too mean. We're looking shad, but we are. And it's not that we don't hate, we love the wrestling business, but it's not without its flaws. WWE, AEW, New Japan, Impact, everybody. So with that being said, we got us down the pipe. We have our final four set next week. We'll do our finals, or who makes it to the finals, and then maybe the finals. I don't know. We haven't decided yet. We'll know. Fans Perspective Podcast, where are we at with that?
A bit of a hiatus. One of our co-hosts suffered a death in his family, so a bit of a hiatus right now, but we'll be back soon.
Condolences to him. Hopefully you guys come back soon. A lot of stuff we need to talk about, you know, slaps all around. The Batman on HBO Max, April 18th. It's getting there. So with that being said, we'll wrap it up right here. You know, let us know, at Wrestling Guys PC. Do you agree with our final four? Do you agree with name changes in fucking WWE? Do you not like what's going on? Is Tony Khan crazy? Is his next Dark Side of the Ring coming up very soon? We don't know. All this and more. But in the meantime, in between times, doing the rest of the guys' podcast, we can talk about wrestling and drink some beer. We're just about all out of beer. We're all out of topics. Tune in next week. We got some more. That's a clean P to see the deal. Final four is coming your way. Take care. Stay safe. Wash your damn hands because it ain't over. How you doing?